Welcome back, everybody. This is Sight to the Blind. I have a very special guest coming on with me today. His name is Ron Charles. You know him by his work on YouTube, Truth or The Truth Unedited. I must say, when I came into this awakening, it wasn't too many teachers I had starting out. Like, everybody went through the Pastor Darby route, but where I stayed loyal, stayed, pun intended, truthful to the work was Ron Charles. I mean, it's amazing. If you go onto his YouTube page, you see the videos that he put out. He used to put out a video every other Friday, but now it's the work is getting more intense and his purpose is getting more intense. The speech and where he brings out his information is getting more intense, and I love it. I just love it. So, hey, let's get right into it. When you're not doing the videos or your ministry, I know before you used to put out once every Friday. Now I feel like the timing has picked up. You're putting out whenever you feel the spirit. So what have you done, or what do you do when you're not doing these videos?
I mean, I'm completely devoted to the ministry. Like, if I'm not doing the videos, I'm raising my family or I'm reading. But for the most part, you know, I'm spread pretty thin with the content. The videos are intense to make, you know what I mean? So between writing them, recording them, making the cartoons was needed, then editing, I mean, it's a lot of work, you know? So, I mean, I've pretty much made it like a routine that I'm able to, you know, to make the content with, but it has to be, I have to wait for Yah to give me what I'm, you know, supposed to say. So, right. You know, it's my family and, you know, and the ministry. That's my life at this point. Right now,
what would you say? How do you stay consistent in this walk? Because I know this walk comes with a lot of pits, snares, false doctrines that need to be reproved. How do you stay consistent?
I mean, simply, I made Yah my priority over myself. I just committed myself and my family to what he wanted for us, you know. So, what I try to do the best I can is limit distractions, you know. And when I need a break, I take one, you know. It's a lot of it is mental, you know, because the enemy is always coming at our minds and throwing so many different things at us. So a lot of times I just got to turn it all off and just get back focused to what Yah is trying to tell me and where he's leading me, because I try not to listen to too many people. And that's why, like, you'll see I don't really follow that many, because, you know, you have to be careful who's leading you and where you're getting your information from and all that other thing. So for me personally, I listen to people I trust, and I, you know, other than that, I just try to tune everything out. That's a big one. I removed a lot of the enemies that were around me. Like early on, you know, you just find out as you're walking and trying to follow Yah, like he's leading you someplace, and you try to communicate to family and friends, and you just find out these people, they're not really with what they actually say they're with. And they actually turn out to be your enemies. And that's a lot of his close family. So, I had to cut a lot of people off. I had to remove a lot from my circle. I reduced the entry points that the devil had access to me. I did that specifically with my kids, like, because when I was trying to block him out, I find out that if I didn't block him out with my children, they always find a way back in my home. And so, you know, early on, I had to be a drill, I guess you could call it a drill sergeant. I mean, I'm a father, you know? So okay. Things that, I guess most people don't do, I did. And it has kept my peace of mind during these times. Like earlier on when all this craziness in the world wasn't happening, it would have looked like it's crazy. But now, you know, all that advice that Yah was, you know, giving me and leading me to, it all showed me why he was doing all that. And so now when everybody's going through the storm and, you know, their mind's all crazy, don't know what's going on, we have peace here. You know, we have true peace.
Right.
You know, and, so, I mean, on top of that, I'm also, I don't like people lying to me and, you know, I don't deal well with that. And so being that we're constantly being lied to and people are being taken advantage of, it's kind of something in me that says, I don't like it. And so what can I do about it? And so that's why, you know, if something's hit me, I speak up, and I've always been that way. But when you actually have truth behind it, you know, it's, you know, this power, you know, and so I just don't like being lied to. And so that, no matter what, if sometimes I want to bow out, you know, I see how many people are being lied to and the lies that are being told, I'm like, nah, like, somebody got to say something. Somebody got to do something. And so, right. You know, I guess that's how I'm consistent in it, you know, I guess.
Okay. I've been going through this a lot, especially with people who are close to me, are trying to use our ministry or use the truth against us to rebel against the Most High. I know a lot of people who come from Christian backgrounds and they see the truth that we put out. The first thing is not look at the word or be obedient to the word is, oh, if one person is against you, I had to be on that person's side to keep my doctrine in place. Have you gone through that with your close family members or close people around you?
Yeah, I have. But, you know, what I had to learn is that these people didn't really have a heart for him. And so I just had to really just cut a lot of people off. You know, like if I believe in genuine conversation. And so if people aren't willing, they'll like make their statements and they'll have these thoughts. But, you know, I have a lot of thoughts and I have a lot of videos and so if you're confused on something, you know, I'm always willing for discussion, but most people, they don't want to discuss. They want to have their thoughts and then talk about you behind your back or whatever it is, or rebel. And so I'm not with it, you know? Yeah. So if that's the kind of behavior people want to engage, Yah's not in you. And more than likely you're a liability to me. I can't have liabilities. So I had to remove you until Yah put you in a better place to us to commune together. But if they're not right and they don't really seek Yah in his fullness and they don't desire it, there's nothing I can do except get frustrated or have them be turned against me in a way that draws me into my flesh. And, you know, I have a temper. I have a certain way about me. Mm-hmm. So the more I let people that don't have their best regard for me, and that's the hardest thing to deal with is the close family. Like I'm talking like my mother and my father, you know, like those people, you know, that was the hardest. But, you know, he says, if you love your mother, or your father more than me, you're not worthy of me. And so I'm not going to sacrifice what he's doing with me just because these people are against him. And so I pray for them, but I don't give them access to me unless they are genuine. And at times I reach out, and you know, but at this time they seem like they're more upset with me than I, you know, than I ever could be with them. So, you know, it is what it is. So, you know,
what was the one thing that surprised you or what you learned about Yahuwah while you were doing your videos that you didn't know?
the craziest thing, and I think that I learned how far the religion of Christianity was from Yahuwah. You know, I think that was the biggest thing that, you know, I had to really come to terms with. You know, it's like everything I taught was taught in the churches, you know, were about twisting him and introducing another form of him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, give a lot of these churches and a lot of that just chances. But when you just keep digging into the details, you always find the devil twisted in there somewhere. And so it's like, for me, like with this ministry, because people are so caught up in labels and stuff like that, it's like, how do you get people to understand that without them closing their ears because they're just looking for a label? Christian, Christian, Christian. Like, that's what they're looking for. That's what they're listening to hear. Mm-hmm. But, you know, how he directed me was, you know, don't attack the label, just focus on the truth. And then he will clarify, you know, to their hearts, those that really truly for him. And then those that, you know, were enemies and don't really have a heart for him, you know, I try to scope them out in the comment section. I try to, you know, I try to look for them and, mm-hmm. and engage with them to see where their hearts are. You know, that's why I engage in my comments, because I'd like to try to sift through who is, you know, mm-hmm. and so, but the enemy works in labels and mm-hmm. classifications, and that's how they try to trap us, you know. But we're not in a box. We're not in a religion. We're just followers of Yahuwah, and we follow his commands. And so what I've learned is that, you know, that was the biggest thing, is that, you know, as I kept trying to give, I guess, that label a chance, the more I kept showing that, you know, what everything that the doctrines are around are just not really truly, you know, with him. It's, it's a whole nother thing. And so that was, I think it was one of the biggest, because when I started the ministry, I don't know if I would say I was a Christian, but I definitely was not ready to attack or go at that main label the way I am now. But mm-hmm. I do it, like I said, differently, because there's so many Christians that come to my channel that are instantly, their ears turn off when they hear that. I remember when Ishan, he came out with that, and he said it lightly. And there's so many people missing me. What do you think of Ishan? He said he's not a Christian. But I'm like, yo, go listen to him. Listen to what he's actually saying. You know, but that was the problem. People just don't listen. They're attached to a label. And so somebody that hears this, they want to say, oh my gosh, could you not say you're not a Christian? If anybody wants to say that, I mean, that you have to listen to what I actually say. You have to listen to my words, just like you have to actually read what the Bible actually says. You know, right. If you just want to sum me up by, you know, a phrase or what you think I'm saying, you know, then that's your problem. And people can deal with that however they want to deal with it. You know?
What would you call your toughest message to convey? I know, like you said, when I still watch your videos, when I knew when you got to Christianity, I felt like the viewage count was dropping off at the beginning. Like nobody wanted to watch it, but now I've seen it picked up over the couple of months. So what would you think would be your toughest message to convey to your listeners or followers?
I mean, that's a tough question, because, You know, I don't try to stray from hard topics, mm-hmm. and there's not a shortage of tough messages that I try to convey, you know, like the true name of our Father and our Messiah. You know, that was challenging for me, because people think I'm challenging their salvation, and they just couldn't understand what I was actually trying to say. But mm-hmm. you know, those kind of messages, I just don't let it go, you know, for the most part. And I, you know, even in another message, I might drop a little, little jab at the topic, just because it needs to be in people's heads. But I want to say that was even my toughest, even who Israel is. I don't even think that was my toughest message. I mean, because you know who has a true heart for him and who is just looking for criticism and who wants to be against. You know, I think that if I would say that my toughest message that I think that I had to communicate, I mean, early on was the once saved, always saved one, mm-hmm. because I think that was the message that got the most criticism. You know, people mm-hmm. that's when I started seeing people making videos about me. I'm like, you know, like, what do you guys talk? Like, what's your problem? Like what are you talking about? Like, mm-hmm. and so, like, for me, like, I would say, because even my son, like my son, mm-hmm. who, you know, we have an issue at this point, my oldest, mm-hmm. You know, he tried to come against my ministry at some point, and this wow. he's going through a point in his life, because he's in rebellion. Uh-huh. And so I asked him what his problem was, and then that was what he said, because you say, you know, once saved, always saved. I'm like, what are you talking? So I'm walking him through, and he's like, well, those aren't true Christians. I say, well, then you're talking to the same doctrine I'm talking about. You're just labeling, you're talking about labels. Mm-hmm. You know, pardon me, you see, I get little
right. I'm getting ready to get hyped for you. I'm like, where are you at? Let's talk to him. Where are you at?
So, you know, that's going through that, you know, that was the one of the messages I think was like the hardest for people to receive. But like, whatever, like, if you don't really understand what I'm trying to say and you feel it's a problem to be obedient, like I watched somebody make a video and say, I think that he's having a problem because he's saying that we got to be obedient to Jesus. I'm like, what are you, like, you have a problem with this? Like, right. So I, in all my messages, I being that I've seen that was the biggest criticism, mm-hmm. I would say that was it. But you know, all these messages right now are pretty tough, I would say.
Okay. What do you say to Christians who believe Paul created Christianity in the New Testament with the scripture, specifically Galatians 3:28?
So for me, I don't think I've been fortunate to not come across them saying he created Christianity with that scripture. When I hear them speak on that, I hear them really use it to the rejection of the importance of Israel. Mm-hmm. That's how, you know, we're all the same, brother. It doesn't really matter. You know, that's what I hear in that. But I think that for the most part, when people are just speaking about Paul and creation of Christianity, I just think that it's against, you know, they're just against the law. And Yah is kind of right now dealing with me on how to communicate that. So I don't really want to get ahead of that. Mm-hmm. But the biggest question I raise to most people is, you know, because it's about lawless. You know, they believe in being lawless. Mm-hmm. And so it's, there's a, like a lawless nature of Christianity. And so I always ask them when they tell me, since the law was given, name one person who was found righteous in the eyes of Yah that did not follow the law. David, Yahusha, Peter, Paul, they all follow the law. So you're not following and you don't think we should. What example are you following? Who are you following? It's like, this is the Bible. This is what it all says. But now we're going to do something completely different than everything that's written in it, you know? So, you know, there's a lot of doctrine that is tied in with Paul that is challenging. Oh.
Well, especially the, he died for our sins. So that means he completed the law so that we can do whatever we want and just repent. Well, we don't have to follow any law says because he died for us.
Well, and when you completely tell them that, he said he didn't come to abolish the law. He said this. These mm-hmm. are his words. You know, they ignore that. Like they literally they literally ignore that line. And so mm-hmm. it's like, you know, he right now is leading me into speaking about his kingdom and then about his tour. That's where he's having me. And so mm-hmm. that's where Yah willing, I hope that more understanding, at least for the people that follow my messages, can gain more understanding of it. You know, because be honest. When you don't read it for yourself, this is what you understand. I mean, this is what Christianity has taught. You know, and that mm-hmm. you can just basically do what you want as long as you believe in Jesus. You know, that's the doctrine. And so it's kind of hard if you're not actually seeking Him and focus on Him for yourself to actually come out of that. And so. Mm-hmm. I think the biggest diagnosis for anyone is just to read your Bibles, you know, like just like actually read it, you know, mm-hmm. move away from other sources and influences and just pick it up, read it daily and not just in the New Testament. You got to start from the beginning and then just, you know, you got to work.
And that was really my next question. My next question was, where do you stand on the New Testament? Because I know it's a lot of translations. A lot of people go with the Greek, the Hellenized version of it, the King James version of it. I know there's the Sefer version. I know there's a book of Matthew that's completely in Hebrew. Where do you stand on the New Testament?
Well, so for me, I don't really think the label of the New Testament is the problem. You know, like mm-hmm. I think that it should never have been labeled that way. And because of the label of New Testament, that causes, much of the confusion because it just sounds like, you know, this is the old, this is the new, and you know, how people treat everything with that's new and old, you forget about the old and you go into the new. And so people mm-hmm. have focused tremendously on the new and they don't really understand the old. But for me, I'm completely with the New Testament. I that's one of the things that I, early on in my walk, when I was learning about the world and trying to understand what was actually going on, you know, there was one thing that I did not waver on was the validity of the Bible, because I felt that if you start questioning that, then there's a whole bunch of different rabbit holes that you can go down, and then who's actually going to draw you out and pick you up out of it. So I don't question the New Testament. What I do, I think that people need to read the New Testament from the understanding of the Hebrews and not the understanding of the Gentiles, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I think that there's a understanding of scripture that is it just comes from the Gentiles and, mm-hmm. and their influence in their ways. And, you know, and so because of that, things are twisted, things are misunderstood. And, you know, his full purpose and what he's doing is not fully understood, you know? And like, I don't think Paul is understood. I don't think Paul's understood by Christians and Israelites. I think that his role as an apostle to the Gentiles, I think, is challenging. So, you know, it's nothing ever seen before, you know, with somebody preaching the culture or the way of the Hebrews to other nations that have no understanding of him. I think that his role was a challenging one. So, but he himself was a follower of the law. He was a Pharisee. I mean, he was strict to adherence to the scriptures. I mean, if you place his life and his words in context, I don't think that you get the same conclusions that people make when they, when they just lump up, you know, Christianity as a whole. They just see, yo, we're not under the law, and so we don't need to follow anything. And I just don't think that that is what he was saying, because that's not what he did, you know?
Right. I always questioned that. Why would he go to Antioch, especially when we had the Book of Maccabees, which told how the Grecians came in and tore up the Torah. They changed the images. I never got and never understood why that Paul chose to still go to Antioch and try to preach it, and it didn't expect them to do the same thing then as they do now.
Yeah, well, so I agree with you. But how I look at it is us today, you know, like, you know, this this message of Yah, like, in a world that is completely upside down, and you know, you expect people just not to understand whatsoever. But when he fills you up and he gives you purpose, you know, you just go and say what is on your heart and what you're what you feel led to do. And so, you know, I don't know how well, you know, what his role was is challenge. I would say was challenge. It's a challenge for Paul. And I sometimes when I'm reading, I'm like, man, like I wish he would have not said something, you know. Right. But you know, Yah hits me as like, who are you? You know, so I back up and I say, you know, what his will is, and I just try to lead how Yah leads me, and then I feel at the end he's gonna sort it all out, and I just can't wait to see how it all sorts out. You know what I mean? Like, I just can't wait to see how it all sorts out. But this is too much. I think that what the main problem is, I think that the Gentile influencers of Rome and everything, I think they jumped on Paul's lawless, like a way of teaching Paul as lawlessness, and that just kind of just got grafted in as our way. And right. We don't really understand exactly what Paul was actually saying. So I don't think that if we were actually seeing him, you know, in real time, I don't think that we would draw the same conclusions as we read the letters today. I just right. I don't think so. And when he went to Rome, when he went to speak to the other Hebrews, they were challenging him. They're like, yo, we heard you were doing this. We heard you speaking against the law. And he's like, no, I wasn't doing, that's not me. Mm-hmm. So there's something there, you know, I mean, this is a lot.
But a lot of people, it's mainly Christians. I don't really have no problem with it. But I'm talking about the Grammys. Once you see so much wickedness, I don't even get upset at them. Like, it's just foolishness at this point. Like, I don't know why Christians specifically get so upset and riled up over this.
Because they don't recognize the world that they're in. They don't understand the enemy. They don't understand what is actually going on in front of them. And so, and they believe, truly, I believe that many of them believe that this world is full of goodness and everybody really, you know, actually loves God just in their own way, because most of these people are being set up for the Antichrist. You know, they're being set up for the beast. So in their head, they can't really understand what is actually happening right in front of their face. And so, you know, these people over here, like you said, just stupid. I mean, like, it's really dumb. Like, I try to use it like with my hard-headed friends and like my cousins, like, do you see this? Like, how long are you going to be in rebellion on this? Like, it's like, this is not clear to you. Like, watch my videos, man. Like, what are you talking about? Like what, you see this? That's right. Why. So when I see that stuff, that's all, because it's really like, I mean, like, right now it's like really whack though. Like back in the day, they were even more creative with it. Right now, it just, they're just like, they're not even putting any thought in it.
Right. It's like, put them in red, put horns on them. Go out there.
That's it. It was just dumb. And so it does nothing to me, nothing whatsoever. So,
Do you see yourself walking away at any point during your ministry? You think there's gonna is a number in your head or a day in your head that you be like, all right, I know I'm gonna be done at this point.
Only way I see, you know, and I don't like putting those thoughts in you know, for the enemy to hear. You know, I do have thoughts of how the ministry would stop, but it wouldn't be on my own doing. You know, I do think that you know. If you know, I pray every day, you know, with my family, I would love to see the fulfillment of his promise. I would love to see it when he brings us all, you know, from our scattering. And I would love to, I want to see that. I want to be a part of that. But I don't know, you know, I mean, if we were back in slavery times, I don't think I would have made it. You know what I mean? Like, right. I don't know how to keep silent, you know? Right.
Definitely, yeah. Some Nat Turner would have been saying, going on there. Yeah.
So, there's a point where I just don't see, you know, I just don't know, you know? So I don't know, you know, like, but I know that it wouldn't ever be me walking away, you know, okay. as long as he hasn't told me to do so, and this he's placed something on my heart to give, then I'm going to do it until he stops me from doing it, you know. Okay. But I don't think there's a point for me. I do think there's probably a point where, you know, there's a change, there's a shift in how it's done. Like I don't necessarily like the main way that the videos get put, the main platform that the videos get put on, I don't think that's going to be forever, obviously.
Okay.
And so I do think there's going to be a transition, a change, you know. I watch a lot of you know, movies or series on, like, you know, when they talk about like the next part of this world, like what's that show, there's a show,
Last of Us.
No, I haven't seen that, but it was back in the day. I forget the name, but there was they show like when aliens came and they took over San Francisco or LA, one of those places, and then, you know, they show like Geronimo and how these people were setting up messages and stuff like that. Like I could see being a voice in that kind of wilderness if that is how I'm led or set up to be, but I don't know. I don't know. I think that when the time comes, I'm going to be running away from the internet. I think I'm going to be running away from my phones. I think I'm going to be just, you know, just hunking down and waiting for y'all to tell me what to do, you know?
Right.
You know, but I don't know what the next steps will be when this whole thing starts changing. I don't have an answer. You know, I don't have an answer for where I think that he would lead it. You know, do you have a thought of?
I mean, I can kind of feel it. Like, I know right now they're requiring a digital ID, and they saying they're start going to have a digital ID for you to use the internet.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Be
yeah.
Just like how Twitter, you paid $8 for a verified. They want everybody verified. So if you verified, everything you say can count against you. So I know a lot of people are just going to be quiet because they ain't trying to get that carbon tax. We just don't want to get our bank accounts messed with. And so forth. I see myself walking away really just because I want to start my household. I'm trying to get my household together. That's what I really want. That's what I want to put my focus on.
Yeah.
And I wanted to ask you, like, how long have you been married?
I've been married with 2009. And I think this year in April is going to be 14 years.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, she had two sons before, you know, before we were married, and I adopted them. That's the oldest one. He's the one in.
Oh, it's kind of rebellion. Okay.
Yeah, it's rebellion. You know, I told him, I'm putting too much business out there, but we, he's the one in rebellion, and I don't know why he shouldn't be, but he is. Mm-hmm. And then there's a 21-year-old that he's a blessing. He just got married himself. Mm-hmm. And then I have two younger ones, 13 and, was it about to be four.
All boys?
All boys. Yeah, all boys, you know, so I have a daughter-in-law now, but, so we do have another female in the mix. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, for us, like, as you say, like, I do recognize, like, with all this, all that, you know, the metaverse and all this digital ID and all that stuff that they're, mm-hmm. that they're implementing, that's what I'm setting up for. Like at some point, yeah, we're cut, you know, we're not going that route, you know? Right. And so I that's the time where I want to see exactly what comes from it, because, mm-hmm. you know, we're going to, I don't know. I don't know how it will work. And I hear a lot of the things, but the implementation of these things, they take a second for things to be introduced versus how they restrict and say, this is going to be the law, and, you know, they normally give people a grace period and stuff like that. So I'm hoping that whenever that system comes online, we have more clarity that we are able to figure out how to maneuver or not, you know.
Right.
But at some, Yah is going to be communicating something to all his children in some way, and so how that happens is, you know, what I want to see, and that's what, you know, that's why I would never close my way of communication unless I had to in order to be a part of the system. Right. But until that point, I can't say I would, because I if things are happening, there, people need a voice, you know, to say, don't follow that one, follow this, you know, like, mm-hmm. you know, and so if he's giving me a platform and it's still available, I'm going to use it until he says no.
Nah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you, did your wife always was in the truth or followed you into the truth? Was she?
No, my wife, it was hard.
All right.
But really? See, so my wife, I would say that she created Truth Unedited, I guess, because every time as I'm learning this stuff, I'm learning about the world, I'm learning, read about the Rockefellers, I'm learning all this stuff. I'm like, I always say, yo, they said this and they said this. And she's like, who's they, babe? Who's they? And I'm like, yo. And so, and I realized that she wasn't taking those answers. Mm-hmm. And so I had to actually go back and study. And so I can actually bring it to her, mm-hmm. What it is I was trying to communicate. But she still didn't until she would hear different voices, you know, that were kind of uttering the same things as me. And then she's like, well, maybe he's not crazy. And so then, you know, but early on we argued, you know what I mean? Like she was an independent woman that did her own thing. She raised her own two sons before me. I mean, she was an independent woman. So mm-hmm. she wasn't used to being a woman of Yah that, you know, had to submit to her husband. And, right. you know, but I am kind of unwavering in certain things. Mm-hmm. So, you know, early on was a challenge, but you know, when you make vows and I knew that it had to work. So now, years later, we're at such peace, but early on, no, early on, she was not anywhere close to understanding, but now she understands that she is just support me and help these children to keep them out the world. And that's what we do, basically.
The only reason why I asked you that, because I am kind of suffering through that situation with a significant other that I'm supposed to be engaged to or whatever. And she's really rebelling against specifically Greek oaths. I mean, she was a Delta. She's not really practicing anymore, but she's going to put her daughter through it. And then I know where that energy comes from. It's really that strong, independent Black woman thing. She raised her two daughters the same way. So it's like, it's coming into my atmosphere and it's just agitating me. And I don't know how to handle it. That's why I asked.
So did she ever tell you, about the oaths? Like what she's actually said?
She's never told me. I can find it online, but she's never come out and say, I said, so what did y'all do? She just told me like, oh, you know, we did the paddling thing, but she never fully went into it. Like she's trying to, you know, keep it from me. I can find out online.
If you want to know, I mean, so that's probably, I mean, she probably hasn't really, come to terms with what she actually did,
mm-hmm.
you know? And, but I mean, bro, listen, this is challenging, right? Like where we are this time period, like the women that we, you know, that we deal with, it's all a challenge. Like they're all kind of damaged, you know? Yeah. And so as us being brothers in Yah, we have to, it requires patience and work, you know? And so they do get it. Yeah, at least I will say mine did it, but it wasn't easy. You know what I mean? Like, you know, it was not easy. But once I made a vow, like I knew I had to keep it. My son kind of, she's young and she's trying to be a doctor and she's all over the place with her mindset. And I keep trying to like understand where the world's going, understand, but you know, she doesn't really attach to she does, but not fully. And so some of it I know drives him a little bit like, you know, this girl is part of this world. She's part of this system. It's just hard, you know me, because they were grown up in a way that taught them that they're like kind of like our equals and everything. And mm-hmm. it's kind of hard for them to break away and understand that they are set up to support us for what Yah is doing. Right. And for them, they just want to be like, nah, well, he's doing something with me too. You know, like, so, you know, it's a challenge. Mm-hmm. So patience, though, that's all I'll tell you. Patience. I'll tell you patience. It's easier to deal with. For me, I realize it would be easier for me to deal with her than for me to go revert back and try, you know. First of all, I know I couldn't deal with no other woman today right now. Like that's scary to me, actually.
I'm landing on that too. It's like
that's scary, bro. I don't see how that could be. You know, if they like sent to you, you maybe want, you know, you just try to work it out. And that's he told me to go marry her. Like I remember that specifically. He talked to me two times specifically, you know, before I was ever in knowledge of him. And he told me to marry her and raise those boys. And so I left what I was doing and I did that. And at first I didn't understand what, you know, what it was that was, what I was doing, until now I come back, I look back at what he put me through and why, and I could see that there was a reason for all of it. Mm-hmm. And I just needed patience. And so it was also me learning patience. You know, a lot of it was about me grooming me to be patient and to be able to better explain certain things and to be better servant to him. And mm-hmm. so sometimes mm-hmm. I am me. And so sometimes it's hard for everybody else to understand like what they're getting from me. And so when dealing with her, I had to learn a different way of being me, and it kind of made me a better man mm-hmm. over time. But it's hard, you know what I mean? I'm used to just you know, and right. and being what it is. And you know, she didn't necessarily let that happen initially, you know.
Right, right. As I know it's a struggle for, especially when you tell them one thing and they want to do the opposite. And it's just that, I don't know what it is. It's just that male image and you know, on social media, it's just all backwards. So it's like we look weak. Regardless of it, if we walking in the yard or not, the image of a black man looks weak right now. So it's like, all right, if I could just keep hammering on him, he'll give up. And they're like you say, when you get strong brothers in yards, we don't backtrack.
I'm not backing. So I keep trying to figure out a way. If I ever coming back, it's because I'm trying to figure out a way to come back at you and bring this back up again in another way, in another time or whatever. But I never let it go. I never let it go. Never, 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 never. I never let it go. You know, and so that's what she tells me, you gotta let it go. I'm like, well, now I'm letting it go because now you finally understand it. It took, you know, it took 8 years just for you to understand this one topic here. Like, you know, I don't let it go, you know, because there's certain things, you know, I'm not harping on like small things. Like there's things that I need to be able to do in order to lead my home. And so if she's a hindrance of that, you know, but the problem is that they're just not raised to be that way. That, you know, like back in the day, our women were groomed to be mothers and wives. That, you know, they were groomed to be this way. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they knew that, you know, I'm going to be a mother. I'm going to be a good wife to my husband. This is what their goals were. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't. They're not raised with that mindset. Oh, sorry, they're not raised with that mindset. So, because of that, they're in rebellion, you know. And so the more examples, you know, that they can see, you know, the better. And so that, you know, I she's gotten better, a lot better, actually. I mean, she's a lot better, but it was not easy in the beginning. So I'll tell you, I mean, you just gotta just keep focused. I one thing I will say is that when this whole thing shifts, they'll understand.
Okay.
They'll all understand, like there's not gonna be a question about that. So right. You know, it's just dealing with right now, you know. Right. So
yeah, bro, it's all the time we got, bro. I'm thankful. I'm really thankful and blessed that y'all put us together for this conversation to happen. It was right on time. Like it was just right on time. Everything I needed to hear and speak about. I'm definitely glad I did it with you.
Yes, you as well, brother. Like I said, there's no other person I can see myself doing this with. So please understand
right.
That, you know, understand that for real. You know, when certain things happen or certain things going on, I instantly go to my Instagram to see what you're saying. You know, like you have a strong purpose. You are very blessed, and you have a calling on you, and you speak and convict with power, and I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, my brother. Thank you for coming on. Thank you for being a guest. I know this isn't always easy for you because this is the first time anybody's ever actually heard you to or speak outside of your channel. So I really, truly appreciate you coming on to my show. So I think the main lesson is perseverance and patience. And it's something I suffer with. Even in this walk, I know a lot of you are going to suffer with patience, suffer with perseverance, being consistent. it comes with the walk. It makes you stronger. You could rely on those around you or rely on other people in the spirit. But as we wake up, you understand there's few and far between. There's not a lot of people we can run to with our faults or with our flaws or with an understanding. So it's always great to be able to connect with like-minded people who are really in this work, who have a heart for Yahuwah, a heart for waking others up, a heart for righteousness. And we all fall short, but that shouldn't allow us, or that shouldn't really stop us from continually to pick ourselves up and go on and on and on. And as I say this, I'm talking to myself as well. I mean, you're going to hear a very personal update tomorrow's episode. I mean, I feel like I have to go there with you guys because I've shared so much about my personal life, and I'm not going to just stop now when things are good. I'm not going to stop when things are bad. So hopefully through my testimony, you can get a full understanding of what this walk and what this journey is really like when you come into this truth. I don't want you to get disheartened. Like I said before, I'm saying it to myself. When I speak, I'm speaking to myself when I speak to you. Don't get disheartened. There's always a bigger and larger purpose that you do not see. I know scripture says that we only see in part. We can only prophesy in part. So we don't see the full picture. Sometimes we don't even see half the picture. But it's a picture that we are given. We all given a specific portrait. And the strokes, and it's a kind of a paint by number. We have to be able to know when it's time to paint, when it's time to stop, when it's time to just chill, relax, and come back to it at another time and see where it, if it's going to produce any fruit or if it's going to, you know, make the colors pop a little bit more. We all need a full understanding, and the only way we can get understanding is through time and patience. And I know if I say it one more time, I'm gonna be sick to my stomach of hearing that word patience. But I'm glad I had Ron on because he does not do these podcasts often. So it was good for me to pick his brain. It's good for you to hear a different side of him because you just see the work. You truly don't understand. Sometimes you need to see the face or hear the words outside of the work to really truly appreciate that there is a human doing this work, that we all have specific stories in our life or specific challenges that make us who we are, but the work stays consistent. The work stays true to the purpose. And I think that is what the major, I would say, that is like the honing in with the major thesis of this conversation was to humanize somebody who's doing the work and also know that he's going through some things in his personal life, but that doesn't stop the work. You know what I'm saying? So I'll see you guys tomorrow on the next episode. This is Sight to the Blind.